If an individual is going to join any organization, that individual usually likes to investigate that organization just a little bit. When I was in Paris, Tennessee, one of our elders made a push for me to be in the Rotary Club. And one of the things that he did, he said, "Vic, come to the meeting," and he said, "I'll buy your lunch." Well, a preacher never passes up paid lunch. So I went. And he did that for about 3 or 4 weeks, and he let me look at what the meeting was about, who the individuals were, how those meetings were conducted before I joined that particular organization. I also like to go to the gym. It may not show, but I like to go to the gym. And before I join a gym, I like to take a few days and work out at that gym, talk to some of the individuals, see how the facilities are run, how they're kept up before I join the gym. Well, folks, in like manner, individuals who are interested in Oceanside, when they come, they are checking us out, are they not? Oftentimes, we'll study with an individual 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 weeks before that individual obeys the gospel. And during that time, that individual comes to the worship services, comes to this building on a regular basis. And folks, that individual is watching us. He's investigating. He's observing many, many things. And much of what he sees is different, probably, and some of the things that he is used to. The very minute you enter into our building and our worship services, you notice that we do not have instruments of music in our worship. We partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. There is not an entertainment atmosphere here. It is an atmosphere of the worship of the Almighty God. And folks, for many individuals, those kind of things are different. Individuals come, and maybe they've come from a very large congregation. Some individuals worship at congregations that have 500, 800, 1,000, or more members. And all of a sudden, they come to Oceanside with 90 to 100 in attendance. Big difference, is it not? There are some places where they have huge facilities. Folks, you go on those facilities and they are like college campuses almost. You can get lost in those facilities. And they come here into very small facilities as far as they're concerned. Then there's other individuals who worship at little bitty congregations. I talk to individuals who worship at congregations that have maybe 10, 20 members, and all of a sudden they're at Oceanside. Folks, we're monstrous compared to that. So there's a lot of differences that they're seeing as well. But what we need to realize is this. Not only are they seeing those major differences, but folks, they are looking at us as a congregation and as individual members of the body of Christ. We have been studying various things that will promote church growth as far as we as Christians are concerned over this past month. And the title of our lesson this morning is as follows: Church Growth Through Organization. My friends, it is very important that we consider the concept. What do individuals see when they come to Oceanside Church of Christ? Let's talk for the next few moments about some things that they desperately need to see when they enter in to this particular building and join with us as a congregation of the Lord's people. Number one, when individuals come to Oceanside, they need to see that we are a friendly group of individuals, don't they? The Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Folks, if individuals are going to come back, if they're going to speak favorably of us, if they're going to look at us as though we are their friends, we're going to have to present a picture to them that we are a friendly group of the Lord's people, are we not? And folks, that's going to take the effort of every individual in this congregation. For who knows, it may be you who that individual really connects with. It may be you that individual says, "My, I've got a lot of things in common with that individual," and he may come back solely for you. But what if you're the most unfriendly individual on the planet? He could care less if he sees you again, folks. Here's what I wish would transpire in every congregation of the Lord's people. I wish that when we come into this building, not one member would sit down. We'd stand outside, we'd stand out there in the foyer, we'd stand along the walls of the building, and guess what we're looking for? We're like bird dogs, folks. We are looking for every visitor that comes through that back door. And as soon as that individual pulls up, wow, we got a visitor. And all of us are on alert, folks. That individual comes in and he gets 90 individuals shaking his hand. Man, are we glad that you're here this morning. We appreciate your visiting with us. My name is, your name is. Folks, don't turn them loose, not then. They got kids? Oh, I see you have children. Let me help those kids to Bible class. We have worship first, though. Y'all all come in here and y'all sit right here on this pew and don't move. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You grab your wife, you grab your kids, your grandma, whatever you got here, and you go right there and you perch yourself by that individual. And you sit with them through the entirety of that worship service. Worship service is over. It's time to go home. Hey, I don't want you to go home yet. Why don't you go home with me and eat something? Why don't we go out to a restaurant and let's eat and let's get to know each other just a little bit better? Folks, what if we did that to every visitor who enters into this congregation? Wouldn't that be impressive? I've gone to congregations, folks, where not one person spoke to me. You think I want to go back to a group like that? No. But if I'm overwhelmed by the friendliness of that congregation, guess what? I want to go back. Now, in order to do this, some of us are going to have to make some changes. Aren't we? You see, some of us, and people still don't believe this about me, but I'll take all the tests in the world to prove it. Some of us are introverts. And folks, it takes a lot of energy and effort, does it not, to get out there and talk to people. You talk to 100 people and you're just worn to a frazzle by the end of the day. All you want to do is hibernate for about a month. But folks, if you're an introvert, you've got to get beyond that, don't you? And you've got to say, I've got to meet these people. I've got to greet these people. I've got to talk to these individuals. This might be, note this, our last chance to make an impression on these individuals. We got to get out of some bad habits too, you know that? You see, a lot of us like to come and perch. We come to the building, we get here, man, an hour early, and you just perched on your little pew. I don't know what you're doing. I guess you're warming up for worship. Folks, we got to get off our pews. We got to stand up and we got to be ready to meet and greet those individuals who come into this building. That's something that every one of us can do, can we not? We need individuals, don't get here late. Get here early. I want to get there because there's going to be people there that I need to see today, that I need to meet today, that I need to talk to today. And here's the one that's a killer. You may have to give up your seat today. God forbid. See, somebody may come in and they may have 5 or 6 people and so I may sit them right there in your pew. And I can just see you right now. I beg your pardon. You're in my pew. I've seen people get bent out of shape because somebody's in their pew. Folks, there's a couple of things about those pews. Number one, you didn't buy them. Number two, they don't have your name on them. Number three, when you die, you're not going to take it with you. Don't worry about the pew. Worry about who's in that pew, folks. The Bible tells us, whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3:17-18. Folks, when those individuals come through those doors as visitors, I've got a question for you. Do they have a need? You bet they do. They're in a strange place. They already feel weird. And they have a need to be welcomed. They have a need to feel like they belong. They have a need to feel as if they are important because they are here. And you and I have the ability to fulfill those needs. Whoso seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? It's not going to happen, folks. We've got to show people that we are friendly at Oceanside. Point number two. When individuals come to this congregation, what do they need to see? Not just friendliness, but they need to see a group of individuals who are united one with another. The psalmist said it well. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133, verse 1. Unity. Folks, unity is not something that is easy to possess and maintain. Did you know that? And unity is something that Satan is constantly trying to pick at within a congregation of the Lord's people. And yet we as members of the church, do we not proclaim many things to the world about unity? We say such things as this. We can be united as one upon the truth of the gospel of Christ. Don't we say that? Don't we like to tell the world we are united in one body, in the church, in Christ? Don't we preach to those in the denominational world that division is sinful and hated by God and goes against His very nature? We teach those things, folks. Well, if that be the case, when an individual comes here, guess what they should see? Total, complete harmony, unity, oneness in Christ Jesus our Lord. And sadly, that's not what's found in many congregations of the Lord's people. And folks, that division can manifest itself in a lot of different ways. Did you know that there can be congregations wherein everybody comes together, but yet there's still division in that congregation? Have you ever been to a congregation where there's just an air of division there? You walk into the building and you can just sense that there's something not right. You can just tell deep within that there's a problem somewhere in this congregation. Something's wrong. Somewhere there's some agitation. Somewhere there's some strife. Somewhere there's some anger. And you can feel it in those congregations. I was in a little church one occasion. And folks, the members were bickering and arguing and fighting with one another all over a church building. And you pull up in that parking lot and guess what? You could just feel the tension. That was way out in the parking lot. You didn't have to get in the building. Can you imagine opening your door, getting knocked down by all the tension in the air? You might as well just go home. I don't want to be a part of that. And guess what else? They're watching us how we operate within the confines of this building, are they not? Folks, individuals start coming to this service 2, 3, 4 times. They start watching. Oh, that little group sits over there. And that little group, they sit over there. Oh, that group, they go out to eat together all the time. Oh, that group, they're the ones who stay and they're the ones who talk to one another all the time after services. You want to know what that person starts thinking? Which group will I be a part of when I become a member of that congregation? Isn't that sad? Folks, you don't become a part of a group within a congregation. You become a member of the congregation, don't you? Of everybody within that congregation. And those individuals can sense those divisions within congregations. And division can also manifest itself in Bible classes, can it? You see individuals in Bible classes, how they talk to one another. And sometimes you can tell, man, there are some major problems. I've seen Bible classes turn into almost brawls, you know it. Individuals hollering and shouting and getting loud voices one with another. Folks, who wants to be a part of that kind of a congregation? Not one person. When people walk into this building, they need to see a sense of unity, don't they? Of harmony. And folks, that manifests itself also in peace one with another, doesn't it? The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That ye stand fast," listen to him, "that ye stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Folks, that's God's desire for every congregation of the Lord's people. You live your lives in harmony with the gospel, and regardless of who is there present with you, Paul doesn't have to be here. Whether I'm there or not there, guess what? You are standing fast. How? In one spirit and in one mind, you're striving together for the faith of the gospel. Folks, that is what individuals need to see when they visit the Oceanside congregation. Number three, what does a person who's visiting this congregation, who's checking us out, what do they need to see? They need to see members who are faithful, folks. Faithful. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Can you imagine going out here and inviting somebody to the worship services of the church? And that individual comes that next Sunday, and guess what? You ain't here. Well, where is he? Where's that guy that invited me? I don't know. Sometimes he comes, sometimes he don't in this church. Wow. Folks, faithfulness involves genuine, sincere, real, one man said, bona fide commitment to the Almighty God. When I became a Christian, I gave my allegiance completely and totally to Jesus Christ. I don't serve myself anymore. I serve the Lord Jesus. And whatever He desires of me, that is what I'm going to do, come what may. And folks, people, when they come, they need to see faithfulness on the part of those members. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus makes an interesting statement with regard to the Jews on that occasion. The Bible says this, "And he spake unto the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." Think about that, folks. That's a pretty powerful statement, is it not? There were several divisions of the Jewish leaders into different sects at the time. And on this occasion, Jesus makes a powerful statement about the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees, they sit where? In Moses' seat. Folks, Moses was a well-respected leader, wasn't he? In fact, he was the giver of the law. He was the teacher of the law, the expounder of the law to the Israelite nations. Now, Jesus says that the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit right in Moses' seat. They are the ones who have the correct interpretation of the law. They are individuals who teach what the law truly says. Now, listen to what Jesus says. "All therefore that they bid you observe, that observe and do." They're teaching right. Whatever they ask of you, do those things. But listen to this. "But do ye not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them upon men's shoulders, but they will not move them with one of their fingers." Here we are teaching an individual the gospel of Christ, aren't we? And folks, when you're teaching that individual, you want that individual to know that it's not just about baptism. Yes, baptism's essential. Yes, baptism's important. Yes, an individual must be immersed in water for the forgiveness of his sins in order to be added by the Lord to the church. But there's more to it than just that. And you teach that individual, you've got to be faithful. You've got to be steadfast. You need to attend Bible class. You need to come to worship. You need to be a part of the works of the church. And we bind all these things upon that individual, do we not? And then he comes because he trusts what we say. And guess what? We ain't here. That's terrible English. But we're not here. And he's looking around and he's saying, you know, this guy seems so real. This guy seems so true and genuine in his beliefs. And yet, I come and I'm there. I'm trying to do everything he taught me to do. And guess what? He's not even there. Boy, that really makes him want to come back, doesn't it? Makes him see what's important. Lets him have this deep burning desire within. Ooh, I'm going to be faithful too. No. I hope it can never be said of us that we act like those old Pharisees of Jesus' day that say, and do not. Folks, when individuals see us, don't show them lukewarmness. Don't show them half-heartedness. Don't show them hypocrisy. You show them a Christian who is on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ and who's going to do the will of God regardless of the cost to himself. Show that individual a picture of exactly what faithfulness is. Be like the Apostle Paul who said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Folks, people need to be able to follow in our footsteps right through the portals of heaven itself, shouldn't they? That ought to be our desire for those who come and visit this congregation. Follow me. Because I know where I'm going. Point number four. When individuals come to this congregation, they need to see that there is a place of usefulness for them. Any individual who is added by the Lord to the church is needed in the body of Christ, isn't he? Paul says, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more honor, that our uncomely parts might have more abundant comeliness. 1 Corinthians chapter 20 verse, or chapter 12 verses 20 through 23. Folks, the Apostle Paul tells us that every member of the body, doesn't matter how feeble, how weak, how frail, how uncomely that member is needed in the body of Christ. There is not a person who walks through those doors that you and I should look at and say, ah, we don't need him. Really? The body of Christ needs everybody, does it not? You see, sometimes a rich man comes in and we say, oh, we could sure use him here. Help out that contribution just a little bit. And boy, we flock to him and we surround him and we hold tight to him. We don't want to let him go. He gets gone and we just grieve, don't we? Oh. There goes a big contributor. And then there's another one, can't give very much every week. Nah. They're poor, can't afford it. And so we don't spend much time with them, folks. Guess what? There's not a person who is not needed in the body of Christ. Not one. And it doesn't matter anything about you. Race, socioeconomic status, position in the community, how big a family you came from, how small a family you came from, how bad a family, how good a family, it doesn't matter. Every individual needs to know, hey, you come here and guess what? We got a place for you. There's something you can do at Oceanside. And folks, we help them grow. We help them find positions of service. And we help those individuals in any matters that they might stand in need of to the utmost of our ability. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4:16, from whom, that is the head, from whom the head, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, that's unity, is it not? By that which, listen to him, every joint supplieth. According to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body. Under the edifying of itself in love. Folks, that's a tough verse to memorize. You know that? But it's packed with stuff. The body's attached to the head. And there is not one member of that body that is not essential to that body. Every joint provides a part. Every member provides a part. And what does it provide a part for? To the edification and growth and upbuilding of the body of Christ. Folks, we need to let people know you come to Oceanside, you're needed by Oceanside. And it's not just about your money, is it? There's a lot more things that an individual can do for this congregation and for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fifthly, when individuals come to Oceanside, what do they need to see? They need to see Bible, folks. Bible, don't they? Here's what's interesting. Many individuals who are searching for a congregation, looking at that congregation, this is the one thing that oftentimes they're not looking for very much. You know that? They're looking for a place where they feel comfortable. They're looking for a place where they can fit in. They're looking for a place where individuals accept them. And sometimes Bible may take a third or fourth or fifth seat. But yet you and I know that if you and I are going to be the true church of our Lord Jesus Christ, that when individuals come here, they see the Bible, don't they? Oh, how love I thy law, the psalmist says. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119:97. Folks, that ought to be our motto, hadn't it? This church loves the law of God. And this congregation of the Lord's people is going to meditate and focus and study upon the Word of the living God. Folks, it is the Bible that we owe to our very existence, don't we? The Bible says, whereunto ye are called by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. The only reason any of us are here is because the gospel called us to obedience to the Almighty God. It is the Bible that enables us to have power for living. Isn't that true? According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It is the Bible that guides and directs every step that we take in this life, doesn't it? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. It is the Bible that protects us from sin and from iniquity. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 11. My friends, it is the word of God that will direct our paths through those pearly gates into those eternal realm and that eternal place called heaven, isn't it? And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Acts 20. Verse 32. We need to show the world that we're going to stand on the Word of God. That the Bible is what we love. The Bible is our constitution. The Bible is our creed. And we're going to stand upon it regardless. We're going to honor it. We're going to love it. We're going to study it. We're going to obey it. We're going to teach it. And we're going to defend it with every fiber of our being, folks. There's a lot of congregations who give a lot of lip service to this book, but not much practice of this book. We need to show individuals both, don't we? Yep. When individuals come, to this organized body, this local congregation of the Lord's people. Folks, they're watching for something, aren't they? How friendly are they down there? Are those individuals unified? How faithful are those members at that congregation? Is there a place for me there? Can I be used at Oceanside? Do they believe and love the Bible and practice it to the utmost of their abilities? Folks, those individuals need to see those things when they come to this congregation. And when individuals leave this building, here's what I hope happens. I hope they leave and on that drive home, they say something like this: I want to be a part of that congregation of the Lord's people. And folks, if they don't say that, sometimes something can be very bad wrong with Oceanside. Not all the time. Sometimes people don't want these things. You know that? They want something else. But I want people to leave and say, yes, that's what I want to be a part of. If we're going to grow the congregation, we're going to have to manifest some of these things as a congregation of the Lord's people. Let's put them into practice, guys. If you're not a member at Oceanside, we want you to be, desperately. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, and you can this morning. The Bible teaches us some very simple steps, does it not, to the obedience of Christ. Hear the gospel, Romans 10, verse 17. Believe in the Christ as the Son of the living God, John 8, 24. Repent of sins, Luke 13, 3. Confess the precious name of Jesus publicly before men, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Matthew 10, verse 32, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2, 38. My friends, you come forth from the watery grave of baptism, a new creature in Christ, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And the Lord will take you and add you to His church, Acts 2, verse 47. Won't you do that this morning? Dear Christian, maybe you need to rededicate yourself to the cause of Christ. You've not been one of those who's been somebody that's profitable to the upbuilding of the kingdom. Maybe you've almost separated yourself from the body of Christ. Won't you come back? Ask God to forgive you and be a part of a congregation that's striving to do the Lord's will. Do you need to repent of sins? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?